I wish I could say that we had a monkey to close the show, but I think you will all be super thrilled with our next guest all the same. I'm going to read you some credits and then I'm going to tell you an introduction I've been saving for him for about, Katie, when was that show?
What?
That show that you produced for this gentleman? Like 2 years ago? Okay, so I've been saving this introduction for 3 years. But first, let me tell you, this gentleman was in a group called Derek Comedy. They made a movie called Mystery Team. It was really great. He is an author. I saw him on a tour for one of his books. He is a writer. That's the same thing as author. What I meant to say is that he was also in Captain America 2, which is really cool. We all love that movie, I'm sure. Here's the introduction I've been waiting to give you forever. At your one-man show that I saw, Gorilla Tango, you said something. You know you've written something good when someone wants to fuck you after they read it. By that rubric, I have written one half of a good thing. This is Mr. DC Pearson.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Keep it going for Eric and the whole Nerdalogs. This is the best show ever. Thank you guys so much for sticking around. This is so cool. It's easily the most Midwestern thing I've ever been a part of. And my part of my dad's family is from Minnesota, and the other part is from Iowa. Yeah. So it means a lot that this is the most Midwestern thing I've ever been a part of. Also, to make it even better, thank you for sticking around. Finally, right before this I got on, a number of things converged. One, you're a guy came up and just gave an earnest, inveighing against modern comic book movies. And then you're like, this guy's in Captain America 2! Then the gentleman before me was like, you know what's the best entertainment, better than any kind of entertainment, is monkeys. And then you're like, this guy's not a monkey. But it's balanced out by positive things, like the gentleman that went before me who was wonderful. I believe he maybe had some friends in the audience. And there was one guy in the group that is the most Midwestern, earnest, wonderful, awesome, warm show ever. And the entire time there was just a little hint of L.A. And that hint of L.A. was a dude in the second row with a mustache. Very handsome gentleman. Looks like David Strathairn in L.A. Confidential, who cuts hookers to look like movie stars. And just was throughout the entire of the show, I swear to God, just on IMDb the whole time on his phone. As though he was what are movies? That was the only explanation I could come up with for that. But after that gentleman who was very funny and talked about monkeys went, they all left. And so that's super exciting. So now we are here and we're ready to close out the show. Because I really wanted to say that thing about him looking like David Strathairn, but I was do I have the guts to do it in front of him? And then next week being an NBC development meeting, and he's the head of, not even the head of program, but the head of electricity. He's I'm the guy that provides the electricity that runs our everything. So what about my mustache? This is a story, a true thing that happened. So it's a story about, I guess, being, if I want to connect it to the theme, being on your grind, and my grind is the grind of doing storytelling, doing live storytelling. I really enjoy it. And my first girlfriend that I ever had in high school was, when I started fooling around with her, my friend's girlfriend. And not even just my friend, but a friend that I would play N64 GoldenEye with, which is a friend, really a friend. Me and his girlfriend were just normal friends until one night she showed up at my house and she had been crying because my friend had done something to make her be crying. And she came inside and she ended up laying across my lap and she was crying. And at one point I screwed up all my courage and I leaned down, and for whatever reason I rolled up her shirt just a little bit, and I leaned forward and I started making out with her stomach. And she didn't stop me, so I continued making out with her stomach. And then at a certain point she got up and she left. And then the next day we had a big treaty, UN summit between the two of us, where we were what do we do? You're my friend's girlfriend, what? But that was great. We really liked doing it. So what we agreed upon is that in order for it to not be cheating on her boyfriend, we could only do what we had already done, which just led to weeks upon weeks of secret illicit hangouts where I would just literally make out with her stomach until one fateful evening when I got to see her boobs after doing the sexiest thing a gentleman can do, asking. And it was very exciting. So she broke up with her boyfriend eventually. We started dating. We went out for a year and a half, until recently was my longest relationship. And then she graduated and went away to college because she was older, but college was in the same town. And we continued dating. And then she called me one night and she was like, can I come over? And she came over. And get this, she was crying again. I was like, what's going on? And she told me at that point that the head of her college improv group had kissed her. And I said, what does that mean? And what it meant was that she was going to break up with me and now start dating the head of her college improv group. So we broke up. And I was like upset. Like, you know, I couldn't be too upset because if somebody like leaves you after the genesis of your relationship was you cheating on somebody else, you can only be so mad. But up to that limit, I was very mad. I was like the full amount of mad. And so we broke up. So that, the whole saga of our relationship was kind of my like romantic origin story in a lot of ways. It was sort of my Lord of the Rings. Like I knew it was this sort of formative saga with a lot of, you know, crazy, ups and downs and twists and turns. And so throughout the entirety of my life as a comedian, like 10 plus years now, I've sort of been telling stories of my real life in storytelling shows just like this one, in my romantic life, in my professional life, and all kinds of things in my life. And this, I knew this story was like the Moby Dick, right? Like this was like the big one. And so I was like developing my chops until one day I can actually like tackle this story. And eventually I did. I wrote an entire hour long show based on the saga that I just sort of briefly summarized for you guys. And then almost exactly a year ago, I was asked to do San Francisco Sketchfest. And they asked me to do it as a stand up. And they were like, you get an hour as a stand up. And I was like, I don't have an hour as a stand up, but I did just develop this hour long storytelling show. So I'll go and at a stand-up show, I'll just do this like hour-long storytelling show about the first relationship that I ever had that I just told you guys about. So I go to San Francisco. I'm like super excited. I'm a little bit nervous, but I'm like, I think this is going to go good. I feel really confident about this. I go to the San Francisco Punchline, very traditional like 80s style comedy club. That's great. Nobody listening to this podcast get offended by being like, we're not from the 80s. I mean, you are. There's like behind this, like the backdrop to the comics is like a cool pastel city, you know? So it can't be from too many decades, but but it's a great club. Anyway, I go and I do it I'm up there on stage. I'm telling the story, and about 20 minutes in, I just see out of the corner of my eye, just a silhouette in the audience that I can barely see at all because it's very brightly lit. And something in my gut just shifts. And I say to myself in my head while I'm doing the show, I think that's her. And now I had not seen this person since we had a lunch where it was like right after we had broken up. It was maybe like 6 months afterward. And it was like the big, like, we're going to be friends. We can do this. I'm a grown up. You're in college. I think I'm in college. We can do this. And we went and we got like fancy pizza for Arizona, which just means like it has oregano on it. And we went, and then I was convinced in my head, I was like, she's still dating the head of her college improv group, but today is the day that I win her back through sheer force of justice. Like, I should just get to, for whatever reason. But I didn't know how I was gonna do it, I just knew that it would happen. And so after lunch, she's like, do you wanna come back and see my place? And I was like, yes, this is how it happens. And I go back to the place that she shares now with the head of her college improv group, who's not there, and I'm like, this is when it happens. And then I look around their college, very mature, you know, two mature college people living together apartment, and I see on their entertainment center, they have a Nintendo GameCube. And I was just like, she's gone. Like, I just knew, like, he's buying her GameCubes. I can't compete with that. Like, she's fully gone forever. So I was like, okay, cool, she's gone. So I had not seen her since that fateful afternoon, like, you know, 10 plus years prior. And I can't continue looking over there in the audience because I know that if I confirm for myself that it is in fact her, everyone here at the show will need a refund, right? I will not be able to go on. So I kind of like stop looking over in that general direction, and then I do the rest of the show, 40 minutes, and then I get off stage and I go backstage and I say to a friend of mine who's backstage, I was like, the girl from the show, I think she's here. I think she's in the audience. And he's like, does she live in San Francisco? And what I say is, I don't know, maybe. And what I mean is, I know she does because of Facebook. And he's like, well, you got to go out front and see if it's her. You got to go see if it's her. So I go out front, and underneath the green sort of, you know, 80s comedy club awning, and underneath like the sort of like, you know, dead bug and rain encrusted light, I look out and there she is. She's there. It's her. And she looks almost exactly the same. And when we meet somebody that we haven't seen in a long time and they look almost exactly the same, we get excited because we feel like that means that maybe we also look exactly the same. Although I consciously know that not to be true because back when we dated, I didn't look the way I do now, which is like the Allman Brothers' brother that they don't talk about and lives in a cage on the van. And it's there. She's there. And she just starts hitting the fuck out of me. Not playfully hitting the fuck out of me, but like, you know, with intent, you know, it's like kind of Elaine from Seinfeld, playful hitting, like a lot of like forearm, you know what I mean? But like, definitely like, you know, with a purpose. It's like fun with a purpose. It's the Highlights magazine of playful hitting. And and she's like, did you know I was here? And I'm gonna say no, cause A, that's the truth, and B, I think that'll like make it better, right? Like, she thinks that maybe I like saw her and I just like started like into like just verbally doxing her basically about the entirety of our relationship, which isn't what happened. But as far as she was concerned, she just like went on Facebook and saw a thing that was like, oh, my ex-boyfriend's in town doing normal stand-up at a normal stand-up institution. I'll just go and see a normal stand-up show, and instead it'll be like him being like, what's the deal with airline food? And instead it's me being like, what's the deal with how vulnerable you were when you were 17? But I didn't do that. And so that's what I tell her. She's like, did you know I was here? And I'm just like, no. And she's like, so you just do this show? And I'm like, yeah, it goes really well. And she's like, so are you just like touring around the country, like doing this show? And now this put me in a bind because you never want to tell an ex that you are less successful than they might assume. But I wasn't touring around the country doing the show. So I tell her, I'm like, no, I'm like trying to downplay it basically. But I'm like, oh, I only did it like here and in LA where I live and in Phoenix where we're from and like just New York. And that seems to sort of assuage some of her fears. Like, she thought that I was on, like, you know, DC's He Should Have Let This Go a Decade Ago tour 2014, when in actuality, I've just done it in, oh, I don't know, most major cities. And so I should mention, she was, like, super drunk. Because apparently one of the comedy club waitresses had realized very early on in the show, just somehow like psychically ascertained that she was the girl in the show that was being talked about, and just started bringing her constant drinks. Which, like, who is this comedy club waitress and where is her TV show? Like, touched by a punchline waitress. Like, she just like brings, you know, people that have been damaged by the, you know, selfish act of comedy, just healing alcohol to salve their wounds, the wrong that they've been done by selfish comics. And so I ask her, I'm like, are you okay with me doing the show? And she was like, yeah, no, totally, it's fine. And I'm like, is what happens in the show, is that like pretty much how you remember it? And she was like, yeah, totally. Like, everything's like what happened. And like, I think that speaks super well of her because neither of us come off amazing in the show. It's like clearly both a low point in our early confused teenage lives. And so she's just like, yeah, no, totally. Like, it's great. And so I extend to her kind of as like, I don't know, like an olive branch or something, like, oh, this was a thing. She, she got like kind of started getting upset again because in the show I didn't call her by her actual name. I used just a random other name, and the random other name I picked was the name of a mutual friend of ours from high school, but like another female name. And so she just gets all upset and like, that's my fake name is fucking Dane. I won't actually say what it is. She's like getting all upset, which is like weird because I didn't realize that like that 10 years on, she still clearly thinks she has like status over this person. Like, how dare you say that I'm whoever it was? And I was like, well, do you want to like pick what your name will be in the show? And she was like, that's fair. And so I'm like, well, what should it be? And she's like, I don't know now. Like, don't ask me now or whatever. And so I'm like, okay, you can like look, you know, like tell me on Facebook. And she was like, okay, cool. And so I leave the show and I'm just like charged up, right? Because I'm like, now I have a fucking ending, right? And so I go and I do the show the next night. It's a 2-night run of the show. I do it again at the punchline. And I'm so excited because I'm like, not only do I have this new ending that I get to roll out that just happened last night, but it happened in this very building that we're all sitting in right now. Like, this is such immersive theater. I'm the new Brecht. And so I get to the end of the show where I get to like roll out the new thing about like, and she was here last night sitting right there. And I'm like, you know, my ex-girlfriend Allison was sitting right there, right where you're sitting, miss. And I point to another lady who's sitting in the seat that my ex was sitting in the night before, and her face like falls and she's like, but my name's Allison. Like, she had the same name as my ex, which was like life was being like, you know that ending I gave you last night? That's like not even good enough. I'm gonna have it so that a girl shows up the next night and sits in the very same seat and has a not super common same name as your ex, which is just like, I feel like life telling me like none of these chapters of our lives are ever closed. Like, they don't happen sequentially. They all just exist in the book and are sort of simultaneously being written, and we don't get to choose when we flip to which part of the book. You know what I mean? And so I was just sort of like, I was like really like blown away by it. And she still has not, my ex has still to this day not told me like what her fake name wants to be, which is crazy. But I did this exact story that I just told you guys almost exactly a week ago, 2 weeks ago in San Francisco again, where I got asked to do this storytelling show called Risk at Sketchfest. So I told the story back in the same place, and it was exactly a year to the night from the time when my ex had shown up at my show the year previous. And so I was really nervous, but then I got out of the show and I was like, okay, she clearly wasn't here because she didn't, you know, there was no outcry at any point. And so I came back here to Los Angeles, and then I opened up Facebook and I had a new message, which is a lot for me on Facebook because I'm not super active. And I opened it and it was from my ex, and it said, stop doing shows in my city where you make jokes about me, but don't invite me. And I was like, how did you know? And she was like, I have spies everywhere. And I was like, cool. Next time, I was like, quick trip, whatever. Like, you know, and I do next time I'm there need to actually like invite her to the thing, but it was just a lot, you know, it was just a lot. And I sort of needed that, but I do like that she then like was there in spirit via some friend of hers who told her about it, because it's like life keeps continually revising this story. And like, I won't stop until it's an 8-layer Russian nesting doll of like one of you is going to pull, like somebody that did the show earlier is going to pull off her mask and be like, it's me. And I won't be able to say what your name is, because like I said, she still hasn't given me the fake name that she wants to be called. I've known this person for 15 years and I still don't know what to call her. Thank you very much.
Thank you, man. Okay.